a reminder of the gospel, which the Lego folk helped us listen to earlier. Just then the lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbour as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." So as I've already mentioned, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about what it means to respond to the call to follow Jesus. What it means. We were particularly thinking about, in the wake of the referendum and some of the stresses and fractures that were appearing to be occurring in society, what it means to say again, what does it mean for me to follow Jesus today, this year, this week? And we talked about, I started mentioning a theologian called Stanley Hauerwas and his idea that whatever was going on in wider society and whatever was going on politically, that the church, in its very essence, in what it was about, was to be what he describes as a contrast model to the political and social systems of the day. That the church could and should model something different, which is of value not just for those who are part of the church, like us here gathered today, but which has an impact and offers a glimpse to wider society and wider community. And so today we kind of circle around some of the same issues by coming to another core question at the heart of the gospel, which is this time referred to in the context of this very well-known story of the Good Samaritan. And we ask ourselves again the question, what does it mean to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and to love your neighbour as yourself? And particularly, as I've already suggested, to think about that question, who is my neighbour and how might we love them? The parable of the Good Samaritan, which is probably well known to many, if not all of us here, makes a provocative case for our neighbour being anyone in need who we might come across in our day-to-day life, but particularly those who might be classed as our enemies, as the injured man and the Samaritan would have been in their day. For me, I think it's quite easy, and it's one thing to hang around with a bunch of people who are like-minded. There's easy community available with our friends. Any of us who are part of a family might know that family isn't always the most easy community to be part of. But when you're together with like-minded people, loving one another, loving each other, is not that difficult. And I'm fortunate enough, we were out with some friends yesterday and with our children, and our children got on with their children, and the husbands seem to get on with the husbands and the other wives, and the wives were getting on with the husbands, and everyone was getting on with everyone, and wives were getting on with the wives, and there was friends who weren't married, but they were getting on with everybody, and everybody was just getting on with everybody. And we all had rough, similar backgrounds, and we all had similar worldviews, we all had similar perspectives on recent political developments, and so it was quite easy to be together and to care for one another and to enjoy one another's company. And we often see God's kingdom represented in the New Testament and the Old Testament as a kind of banquet, as a feast, as somewhere where people come together, as sort of an enjoyable place, as a celebratory place, like a fantastic party or the afternoon I had with friends yesterday. But of course, the gospel and God's kingdom and church is not just a place for friends to get together and enjoy one another's company. What about those amongst us as the church who are different? What about those of us who are different socially? What about those of us who differ in our political perspectives? What about those who are different intellectually from one another? Have different spiritualities, have different ethnicities, have different ethical or moral views on different ethical or moral issues. Those of us with different abilities in different areas, those of us with different physical or mental capacity, those of us with different sexual or gender identity, those of us of different ages, those of us with different family status. It's great when we get to hang out with people who we just really get on with and we know and are similar to us, and that's fine. And it's great, and I'm sure that there's people we get on with, we have a natural affinity with when we come together as this church here. There is plenty of us who enjoy spending time with plenty of others of us here. But when we look around, we might see this morning that although we don't cover all of those, that huge list of potential differences which I described, we certainly do represent something of the diversity of contemporary British society. And as I've already suggested, a diversity and a society which is both the build-up to and in the wake of the EU referendum has often been characterised as being divided, split, separated somehow. And what I think both of our main readings today, the Good Samaritan and that excerpt from the letter to the Corinthians talking about good conduct before and after Holy Communion, what they remind us and what our songs that we've sung today remind us is that at the heart of God and at the heart of Jesus' ministry and message, and at the heart of all of that is an all-embracing, inclusive love for all. Methodist churches often say, have a sign up or make it a real thing to say, all are welcome. All are welcome. That wideness in God's mercy, that embrace, that inclusivity of God is both a challenge to us if we are to take seriously the call of to follow Jesus and what it means to follow Jesus today, which we considered a couple of weeks ago. And it's also a challenge if we are to ask ourselves, as we must ask ourselves, what does it mean to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our body, and with all our strength? If we take that stuff seriously, then we too are called to live a life which embodies that embracing, inclusive, wide mercy of God. And that witness which we are called to, that gospel, that love of God, that compassion of God, which we are called to be witness to, is not just limited to the worship and the activity of the church, although that is an important part of it, but it's in how we relate to wider community and our wider society. As I've already mentioned, Stanley Hauerwas, this theologian who has Methodist heritage, talks about the idea of this community of virtue, the idea that what we do as the church is really important, not just for us, and it is important for us, how we relate to one another, the ways in which we connect with one another, the practices we partake in, the values we have. But the way if we do that properly, if we do that well, we offer something to the wider world. And Stanley Hauerwas points out that peacemaking, the genuine peacemaking, genuine reconciliation between people in families, in churches, in groups, is absolutely core. The virtues of faith and hope and love, easy things to say, but not always easy things to live out in practice, are core to what we're to be. In a society and in a political situation where faith and hope and love seem fairly low down the to-do list, we are to be a people and a place of faith and hope and love. We're to be a place of patience, being patient with one another, being gracious with one another, being willing to work things through with one another, being people who don't turn the way we interact with one another into a kind of running for a political office kind of situation where one person sneakily says something about another person and someone says something about someone and that kind of stuff goes on. We're to be a people of hope, of faith, of love. We're to be a people of patience. We are to be a people who work things out, even in the difficult day-to-day, week-to-week way of dealing with people. We are to work those things out with one another. And in that, we don't just model something of God to one another, but we offer a different way of being to others. So if we are to be a contrast model, if the church is to be a contrast model, to offer something different to wider society, what kind of things might that look like? This is not an exhaustive list, but it's perhaps something to get us thinking. In a society which in many ways at the moment seems to be saying that refugees aren't welcome, we need to be a place where all are truly welcome as a church. In a society which appears to be suggesting at the moment that we are not hospitable to migrant workers from around the EU and around the world, then we need to be, as a church, a place where people are 100% sure that they are welcomed, that each of us here are welcomed, and that everyone's presence and contribution is equal and valued. In a society where it can seem that older people are not always seen or heard or valued any longer, then we as a church need to be a community which embraces and draws upon the wisdom of those who are older. A community where older people feel truly valued. In a society at the other end of things where young people might be thought of as lesser somehow, as problematic or difficult, we as a church must be a place where they are valued too, where our life and our worship draws on and feeds their gifts and insights. In a society where my gay friends still can't walk down the street holding hands without checking over their shoulders first, then we as a church should be a community where people feel that they can be themselves and that we can celebrate people's identities and people's relationships. In a society where, even in the last couple of weeks, when I've spoken to people who have their family origins elsewhere than the United Kingdom, I've spoken to a number of my friends who feel uneasy or threatened or unsure of their place in this country, where people feel uncertain about whether they feel secure enough to raise their families anymore in this country, then we as the church must model that complete inclusivity of God and value for those of all backgrounds. We must make sure people feel 100% welcome and embraced by God, by the church. We must practice that wideness in God's mercy. In a society where those with disabilities, whether mental or physical, are often marginalised, the church must be a place where each of us are valued, which draws on the theology and the spirituality which might only be available to those of different mental and physical abilities. I know, and I hope he doesn't mind me saying, I know from conversations I've had with Otto, Otto has insights into things which I can't, about God and his relationship with God and about theology, that I can't grasp and which Otto is able to offer to me. And for me, that is a gift as a Christian. To be open, to be inclusive, to be a place where all are welcome and all are given the chance to express and explore what it means to be God's people today. And of course, we won't get all of this right. We won't get being the church right. If we got it right, probably something was going wrong. If we got it right, we wouldn't need to keep coming back to God for God's grace and God's forgiveness. But we keep doing that. We keep accepting God's compassion for us as we fail, as we get it wrong, but as we keep striving to love the Lord our God with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our heart, with all our strength, and to love our neighbour as ourselves. Final point I wanted to make. We're not going to do it as an in-depth Bible study, you'll be glad to know, but what our reading, which Naomi shared with us about Holy Communion, touched on, it touched on two very important things to my mind. It was talking about the ways in which we shouldn't come to communion, the ways in which the fractures in their relationships or the behaviours that weren't okay, and we could apply different things to how we behave today, I'm sure. But what I think that communion, reading about communion highlights is this. Firstly, that Holy Communion is important. It's an important part of the life and worship of the church as both a reminder and an ongoing gift from God. The ongoing gift of Jesus' presence with us, a reminder of that inclusive love and mercy and forgiveness and grace to all of us. And it's a privilege that we can come together and that we can receive and participate in that sacrament together. We can do that today. We can share in that reminder. We can experience God's presence with us in Jesus Christ through the Holy Communion that we share. And we can be reminded of all that God is doing with us and for us and for others. But there are those stern words which are shared with the Corinthians about preparing properly for communion, in their hearts and in their minds and in their relationships with one another. There's stuff about dealing with their factions, about dealing with their relationships. And for me, that's a reminder that Holy Communion is not just a sort of Sunday sacrament, it's not just a short act of worship, it's not just a religious act, but that living a Holy Communion lifestyle is a day in, day out reality which helps to make God's kingdom apparent to those around us. The presence of God is not just made tangible as we break bread and as we share wine, but it's made tangible in the outworking of the kind of shared life that we've been talking about today. A life where all are welcome, where all are valued, where our neighbour is anyone in need, where we practice inclusivity, patience, faith, hope, love, and all those other virtues which make us God's people. And in this, by practicing this, by practicing a Holy Communion lifestyle, as well as taking part in a service of Holy Communion, we model something as God's people to one another and to the wider world. Our readings remind us that we are to take this peace, this forgiveness, this reconciliation, this mercy that we believe that we participate in when we share in Holy Communion, that we share when we pray and we worship together, that we share in when we study Scripture together, and that we as individuals and as a church community are called to share that peace, that reconciliation, that compassion with those around us. This is about being something, it's about modelling something, and it's about being who we are called to be as the church, but also offering something for all of the world. So when we share the peace shortly, in a moment, let's just take a little bit longer than we usually do. Let's not rush it. I'm not saying we should talk about all our issues. That would take a long time, wouldn't it? But what I'm suggesting is we take the time to shake as many hands as we feel comfortable doing, to wish them genuinely God's peace, and to say, we here, wherever we are in our relationship with God and whatever kind of levels of faith we might have, we're saying we share peace with one another. We are a community here who believes in modelling something special for wider society, something special for each of us here. Amen. Thank you.